Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to another very special episode of a Colts podcast brought to you by Fan Nation on SI.com. I don't know if you know what SI stands for, but Sports Illustrated. Don't tell anybody. I'm just trying to get our new boss to yell at me. My name's Brandon Moses. I'm joined here by your co-host, the Bachelor himself, Andrew Moore, fresh off a bachelor party this past weekend in Tennessee. What a great time we had. First day having a beer since the party, and boy, am I miserable after just one. Buddy, how are you?
I'm doing great. It was a fantastic weekend. Shout out to you and everybody else that were there that made it just an absolutely just couldn't have asked for better weather, better time, just great way to spend a weekend down in Tennessee with everybody. So hey, I survived. I didn't get sick. No black eyes. So
no, I'm very disappointed. If you would have had a black eye, we'd have been recording Tuesday for sure.
We're all set to go. And then hey, we're less than a week away from Colts football. Colts training camp starts next Wednesday, literally 6 days away. I'll be there, boots on the ground, getting all the insider information for you guys. I can't wait. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'll tell you what, this weekend put me in a body bag. Rough drive home. I drove the whole way. I'm finally ready to let Paige drive. We're out of the mountains. I'm feeling good. Like, you know what? She can drive now. I don't like to stress her out. She doesn't want to drive in the mountains. Nobody does, right? Mm-hmm. So I drive through the mountains. We finally get to Ohio, out of the mountains. I'm like, all right, now's the time. We're 10 minutes from the exit we're going to take. Pouring down rain. Just starts pouring down rain. I'm like, well, I guess I'm still driving. Not only did she not want to drive in that, I don't want anyone else but me driving in that because I don't trust anybody, as Andrew well knows. Andrew, first of all, I just want to let the listeners know, and it's important, okay? I'm going to go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And guess what, boys and girls? There's a little skin in the game now, okay? A little skin in the game if you do that. So we're announcing today a little contest. Andrew, of course, couldn't just put it in the same note. To earn yourself two tickets for Colts versus Lions preseason game. Andrew is so cheap. He's so cheap. he's going to be sitting in a press box this year. He could have just given up some regular season ticks, you know. But, hey, preseason game, August 20th, bow free, 1 p.m. at Lucas Oil Stadium, the best stadium in the league before the one in L.A. and Vegas got built, probably. All you got to do, a Colts podcast ticket giveaway. Rules, go like a Colts podcast on Facebook. Follow at a Colts podcast, at Andrew Moore NFL, and at BM Moses. Is that right? On Instagram? It is.
It is Twitter. Right.
BM Moses 9 on Twitter. And subscribe to a Colts podcast on YouTube. If you do not have an account to Facebook, if you do not have a YouTube account, make one or you can't win free tickets.
It's pretty simple.
If you don't have a Twitter account, make one or you can't have free tickets. I don't care if you never touch the account again. Just do it. So again, rules, two tickets to the Colts versus the Lions, August 20th, 1 p.m. at Lucas Oil Stadium. Rules, like a Colts podcast on Facebook. Follow a Colts podcast, Andrew and myself on Twitter, and subscribe to a Colts podcast on YouTube. If you don't know where to find those items, go to acoltspodcast.com, double plug, to find all that information. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, the podcast, we named it for the people. We named it so it was easy. Check out a Colts podcast pretty much everywhere, including TikTok, with all of our one videos.
All of our one videos. But yeah, it's good. Hey, if you've never been to a Colts game before, great opportunity. If you have been to a Colts game before, great opportunity to get some free tickets. Who knows if we might, I might even add a little something extra in there for your trouble of going through those three steps. We'll see. Hey,
Colts announced some partnership with Marvel this year. Who knows what they might give out at that preseason game? To be honest, there's always stuff on the seats. Jim Irsay is a very generous man. Who knows what they give out that day? I don't know what Wyatt's talking about here. Who was I late? Are you complaining that I was late, Wyatt?
No, Wyatt was at here at 8 o'clock on the dot.
Bragging that he was number one. That's fair.
Stats Matt.
See you live. Didn't see at the party. Odd. All right. Here's what the episode's about. Now that we're 15 minutes in. Questions heading into the Colts training camp this summer, Andrew. As you mentioned, we're less than a week away from technically real Colts football. Some other teams starting this week, I think. Mm-hmm. Rookies. Any veterans this week?
I think some teams kick off this week. I know some veterans towards the end of the week. You like that? Nice. But the rookies for the Colts actually report tomorrow on the 23rd. No, Saturday. Saturday the 23rd, rookies report. Tuesday the 26th is when veterans have to be there and report. First practice is on Wednesday. So it's going to be a good time. I think we're all itching to get back to some football. And instead of just talking about what the 2022 season could be, you actually see players on the field and actually get after it.
Matt says the vets are there at the Raiders already, or this week anyway. Makes sense. New coaching staff, I suppose. And
I think they play in the Hall of Fame game coming up within a couple weeks.
That'll do it. Who are they playing? So,
is it Jacksonville? I want to say
nobody wants to watch that game.
Hey, it's football.
It is football. Hopefully no huge incidences. Hey, last year we were pretty close to that Hall of Fame game.
I was there.
You were at the game. I was not at the game.
I wasn't at the game, but we were both at the ceremony.
Correct. Wonderful time, by the way. I want to go back two more times. I want to go back for one more Hall of Fame induction. I'll wait till a player that I care about, but I do really want to go down to Canton. Just in the, you know, when there's not a ton of people there, it's not packed full. But definitely toting my mom and my grandpa around. I think get to go see all the cool things that you got to see, would be a lot of fun. So let's dig in, Andrew. And let's start right with, you know, the biggest news for this football team. How will the offense change under new quarterback Matt Ryan, and do the Colts finally have some stability at quarterback, at least for the next couple of years? I'd hope.
I would think so. I think that's what every Colts fan is hoping. But I think when we talk about how this offense is going to change, I mean, we've kind of mentioned it before throughout the offseason, but I think we're finally going to actually see it here, especially within these first couple days of camp. You're probably going to see it right away. The ball's going to definitely get out of the hands of the quarterback much quicker. Matt Ryan doesn't hold on to the ball very long. He takes his drop. He's a timing quarterback. That's why I think he fits so well in this timing-based offense that Frank Reich runs. He knows where his receivers are going to be on every single play. Very cerebral type of quarterback, and he gets the ball out into his receivers' hands quickly so they can turn up field and try to get some more yards. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing you see out of this Colts offense right away, is just how quickly Matt Ryan gets rid of the ball.
Well, pretty sure I'm going to need new CLR cable soon, because I just keep getting told my mic's disconnected. That's fun. And what you left out there too is, you know, the mobility that a guy like Phil Rivers didn't have. We've said it a million times. So the cerebral quick passes, but the ability to move in the pocket when needed, when those quick passes aren't there to make something happen. I think stability does not just apply to, is he going to be here next year? Is he going to be here the year after that? But just simply, can we rely on the guy under center this year even? And I think this guy, Matt Ryan, smooth Matty Ice, gives us a tremendous opportunity for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think not only is the ball going to come out quicker, you're going to see a lot of those mesh concepts that really Frank Reich couldn't run last year because Carson Wentz didn't really like to throw it to the middle of the field. Carson Wentz was a guy that really liked to throw it outside to his receivers. And that was kind of the complete opposite of what Phillip Rivers did in 2020. So you're going to see those mesh concepts happen more often where the crisscrosses across the middle, getting guys open, as stats Matt says right here, more command from the quarterback, and he's absolutely right. Matt Ryan...
left-handed throws.
And left, no more left-handed throws. But Matt Ryan is going to have full control of this offense. He's going to be able to change plays at the line of scrimmage. He's going to be able to have full control of everything that goes on. And I'm sure Frank Reich is going to give him multiple different plays in each play set, kind of like how Peyton Manning used to play the game. Matt Ryan is the same way. That's how Phillip Rivers was, Andrew Luck. That's the kind of offense we're going to see. We're going to see an offense that was similar to 2020 and 2018, where it's not necessarily just chucking the ball downfield. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of deep attempts by Matt Ryan. Believe me, they're not just going to dink and dunk it down the field. Matt Ryan can still sling the pill. But
he'll turn around and dump it and not force it when he needs to.
Exactly. That's right what I was about to say. It's not going to be forced. The offense is going to look smooth. It's going to look easier. As stats Matt likes to say, or as Matt Ryan likes to say, get effing set.
You pansy.
Offensive football looked hard for the Colts last year, particularly in the passing game. I don't think it's going to look as hard this year in 2022.
He had to bring up Luck. Just had to do it. I'm deep. I'm actually on episode 6. I'm almost done with the Luck podcast. What an incredible piece of work. We're not going to talk about that hopefully at all right now, because maybe. We special guests to chat about it with them. Maybe next week. Fingers crossed. Andrew, I find it fascinating yet so obvious to put this subject second right after talking about Matt Ryan. What will Nyheim Hines' role look like? Because he's going to be so much more involved in. Not just because, you know, Frank Reich's looking back. Leave Matt Ryan out of it, right? Frank Reich's looking back at last year going, why did we not use Nyheim Hines more? Why did we not do that? Well, aside from the fact that your quarterback hated to dump it down to a running back, you're right, Frank. Why didn't we use Nyheim Hines more? He's a playmaker. He's doing twisty, quadruply flippies in the end zone after a touchdown with pads on. I mean, the guy's an animal. And now you got a guy who just made a washed up wide receiver slash really punt and kick returner is all he really ever was. Looked like one of the best running backs in the league, and definitely one of the best fantasy players in the league. So there's Nyheim Hines' opportunity. What do you think?
I just think that the way Nyheim Hines is used is not going to be in a traditional sense. I think I would almost characterize Nyheim Hines. I wouldn't put him as a running back this year. I wouldn't put him as a wide receiver. I just put him generally as an athlete, an offensive athlete.
There you go.
Because not only is he going to line up in the backfield singly with Matt Ryan, you're going to see those formations where you have both Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines in the backfield at the same time, something that was very potent for this Colts offense last year. But Nyheim Hines is going to be in the slot. He's going to be motioned out wide. They're going to put Nyheim Hines all over this offense. And I think it's something that Nyheim Hines is capable of because he's a very smart player. But he's going to have to know multiple positions in order to do this. However, I think that, as we all know, Frank Reich has not hid how much that they're going to get Nyheim Hines the ball this summer. This fall, this winter, Nyheim Hines is going to be one of the top offensive playmakers on this team. I would say he has a shot to be the third option behind Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr. He could be third on the team in touches.
Michael Pittman Jr.
He could be up there. I mean, I think combined, he probably could with his rushing attempts and with his catches, I think he would be a little bit higher than Pittman. But again, it's just, it's going to have to come within the flow of the game. Obviously, they're not going to force him the ball, but it just opens things up for this offense. The offense became so stagnant last year. It was run the ball with JT, run the ball with JT, throw it to Michael Pittman Jr. By the end of the season, defenses knew if they covered those two guys, the Colts offense really wasn't going to hurt them. But if you add a guy like Nyheim Hines, if Paris Campbell can stay healthy, if Alec Pierce can come onto his own and start developing into an option throughout the year, it makes this offense more dynamic. It makes it harder to stop. And it really gives Matt Ryan and Frank Reich just so many more options. And again, I get back to it, makes offensive football easier for this Colts team.
Well, keep in mind, you know, we're talking about camp questions heading into camp and hoping camp answers these questions to an extent. You know, you're going to be down there as many days as you can. The full-timers are going to be down there every day, you know, and we won't get answers to everything. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely going to see, you know, camp's no secret. There are guys that stand out during camp that, yeah, sure, during the season, you're not going to see him as much. Patman had some days. Last year, Strawn had some days, right? We barely see him during the season, right? So there's going to be guys that look like maybe they're going to end up playing a bigger role than they really will, but you're going to see some play design and get an idea of how Nyheim Hines is going to be used this year in camp.
Right, because I mean, most of the time they keep things in camp very vanilla because number one, they don't want to play their hand too much to everybody. But again, this is just kind of the install and getting back up to speed. So we're not going to see all the intricacies of how Nyheim Hines is going to be used, but I am interested to see where exactly he's lined up or how often he's in the slot, how often he's out wide, where exactly they're putting him and how much of a priority they're putting on getting Nyheim Hines involved even this early in training camp.
Now, I want to talk about this guy, not just about which wide receiver is going to step up alongside him, but the question in here is which wide receiver is going to step up along my side, Michael Pittman Jr. My guess, Alec Pierce. Your guess, probably maybe Paris Campbell. I mean, but before let's talk about Michael Pittman Jr. first. I mean, we don't have him in here otherwise. Andrew, we talked about this a little bit earlier this week. I was like, Michael Robb just said on Good Morning Football, he thinks at the end of the season, we're going to be calling Michael Pittman Jr. the best receiver in the league. Somebody else said Justin Jefferson. I don't remember who the other two people on the show said. I was watching on mute while I was working, you know. That made my head turn. I text you right away. I'm like, let's get Michael Robb on the show. This guy knows what he's talking about, right? You know what? But really, his argument was Carson Wentz isn't throwing the football to Michael Pittman Jr. anymore. As long as people stay healthy, Michael Pittman Jr. is going to have one or two other guys that defenses have to worry about, and you can only worry about so many threats. Michael, I think Mike Robb, who admittedly said, like, you know, this is the part of the year where these takes sound crazy, right? But at the end of the year, if it happens, you guys are going to think I'm a genius. It's probably a long shot, but top five in the league, he is the best receiver with A.J. Brown out of the AFC South. I think he's the undisputed best receiver in the AFC South. Robert Woods being the only one who could possibly contend.
I think Brandon Cooks has something to say about that, but I would agree. Yeah. I do believe Michael Pittman Jr. is the best wide receiver in the AFC South. And while, I mean, I love Michael Pittman Jr. You're not going to probably meet a bigger fan of Pittman than myself.
And us. I mean, we covered, that was one of our favorite guys in the draft, our first year of the show.
Mm-hmm. And if he did become the top wide receiver in the league, I mean, that'd be incredible. I don't think he could reach that height this year. However, do I think he has top 10 potential by the end of this year? Absolutely, I do. And it's on top of what you said about how there could be other guys around him that step up, take the pressure off of him. Matt Ryan is now the one throwing in the ball. And from what I have heard and what others have said throughout spring practices, Matt Ryan and Michael Pittman Jr. have already developed quite the rapport with one another. It didn't take long. I didn't think it would, and it certainly hasn't. They've already become very close, and they already have a pretty solid chemistry heading into training camp. But the, another thing,
spring practices are going to pay dividends this year.
Right, because they had the full offseason.
And Carson Wentz didn't have it. Those spring practices are going to make a difference this year.
Right.
The first few games of the season.
And I think another factor that people aren't talking about is Michael Pittman Jr. is only entering his third season in the NFL. He is nowhere near his ceiling. He is going to continue to get better. And now, under the tutelage of Reggie Wayne, who's going to be there as the wide receiver coach with Michael Pittman Jr. every single day, he's in the perfect spot. Got a great quarterback. There's some other pieces around him. He's got the coach that was in his very position 20 years ago.
Well,
everything is right there for Michael Pittman Jr. to take those steps, become not only the undisputed number one wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, but become one of the top 10 best wide receivers in the NFL.
And you bring up Reggie Wayne, you know, there was another big name across from him for a while. So it probably took 3 years before you're like, okay, Reggie Wayne is going to be a dude, right? Mm-hmm. I'd have to, stats Matt would have to, you know, tell me I'm wrong. And he was putting up hella numbers, you know, his first 2 years, and that'd be fine. But
I don't think it was his first year. I think because he was rookie 2001. I think probably by 2003 is when Reggie Wayne came on the scene.
Third year, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is around the time these guys start to shine. Mike Evans, think about him, the freak he is. I mean, early in his career, he didn't really have a quarterback, but he was still putting up numbers. But now, I mean, he is feared. I mean, he's one of those guys you're scared of. I think Michael Pittman Jr. is a guy you're scared of by the end of the year.
Very well could be.
All right, now let's talk about the guy across from him in some sense. Which wide receiver is going to step up alongside MPJ Andrew?
I'm going to go with Paris Campbell. I mean, I made my bold prediction a couple weeks ago saying that Paris Campbell would stay healthy. I'm going to stick with that. Year four is the year. I mean, I could be made to look like a fool within a few weeks if he's out for the season.
You got to make some take at the beginning of the year so you can brag at the end. You know?
There's got to be some point where it changes. There has to be for Paris Campbell. And if it wants to be with the Colts, it has to be this year. Otherwise, he's not going to get a second contract. We've seen when Paris Campbell is healthy. We saw it at the start of the 2020 season. Within that first game at Jacksonville, he was Phillip Rivers' number one target. And then to start the game against the Vikings before his knee injury, he was also the number one target for Phillip Rivers. In spring practices, Matt Ryan and Parrott was throwing the ball to Paris Campbell quite a bit through the 7-on-7 drills. If Paris Campbell is healthy and in this Colts offense, we know Frank Reich's opinion of him. He's not going to be one of those guys that just falls to the wayside. If he's healthy, he's going to be probably the number two option in this offense for 2022. Not saying Alec Pierce isn't going to come on strong or eventually supplant him as that, but Alec Pierce is still a rookie. We have to give him some time to acclimate himself to the NFL game. And Paris Campbell has been here for a couple years now. He just needs to stay healthy to show the special talent that he is. And if he does, I don't think there's any question he can become one of the top threats on this Colts offense.
Andrew, I want you to be right. And no, I don't. I want Alec Pierce to be an absolute animal, to be honest. But I do want you to be right about Paris Campbell. They can, and both can be true, right? I hope I'm wrong. I do hope I'm wrong. I hope he can stay healthy and I hope he plays well. But especially after listening to this whole Andrew Luck thing, I'm like, well, shit. I mean, how's Paris Campbell feeling internally? And I mean, he's thanking God every day on Twitter and amen, brother. You know what I mean? You got a lot to be thankful for. You made a lot of money for not playing any football, I'm sure. You know, health, family, all that. But How happy really is he? You know what I mean? Like, just listen to this Andrew Luck set. I can't help but think Paris Campbell's feeling something like that. You know, and it's hard to tell where he's at mentally. where his confidence is. I hope we use him appropriately. I hope we ease him in. Because, I mean, like you said, week one after a long, you know, season off of an injury, he's number one wide receiver of the week. I mean, ease him in. Limit his snaps, whatever you got to do. I mean, build his confidence, short, easy passes. But I think Gallup here, I think we drafted a guy, you know, as early as that to use him. And I think that guy's going to be used.
Yeah. And if I mean, this is all thinking now as best case scenario, all three of those guys stay healthy. All three of them are second round picks. All three of these wide receivers were taken high in the draft because of their immense talent. The Colts could have a pretty solid top three wide receivers. Again, the big asterisk, if they can all stay healthy.
And let's talk about camp, Andrew. Who else could show off in camp this year, maybe, and protect their fourth or fifth spot on the roster? We've got the Strawn and Patman battle, probably. Ashton, is Ashton Doolin still here, or did he leave?
Oh, yeah, Ashton Doolin's still here.
Teams, I mean, unit, just an absolute unit on special teams. He's not going anywhere. So what settles at the bottom?
I think as far as Ashton Doolin is concerned, I think Ashton Doolin could be the fourth wide receiver on this team. I really do. Ahead of Desmond Patman and Mike Strong because of his the speed, number one. But what he showed last year is that he's more than just a special teams gunner. He came in and he outperformed Desmond Patman and Mike Strong and did a great job last year. Now, and with guys like T.Y. Hilton gone, Zach Pascal's not in a Colts uniform anymore. There's snaps available at the wide receiver position. And Ashton Doolin, a guy that's 6'2", over 200 pounds, he's bigger than people give him credit for. He can come in and be that fourth wide receiver that if one of those guys goes down, Ashton Doolin can step in and really take care of that role until a Campbell or a Pittman, Alec Pierce, whoever goes down, comes back. But yeah, I think if out of those three that you mentioned, I think Doolin has is the one that has the best chance to make an impact in 2022.
All right, defense time. I mean, we just talked about this last week. How will the defense look under Gus Bradley? In relation to camp, how will this defense look against Matt Ryan?
And you must be reading my mind, because that's exactly where I was going to go with this, because we're going to see shell defenses in camp. We're not going to see
no offenses.
We're not going to see the intricacies of this defense. But what we can see is how do the playmakers on the defensive side of the ball look? Like, is DeForest Buckner being disruptive in the middle? Is Ngakoue and Pay, are they creating pressure around Matt Ryan? Is how are Stephon Gilmore and Kenny Moore going to handle going up against these wide receivers, these young wide receivers? Are they going to take them to school, or are these bigger wide receivers going to show them a little bit? We talked about how Bobby Okereke last year was a menace in training camp.
Is that he ended up putting in your article for hot seat?
I did put Okereke on the hot seat, and not necessarily because he's going to lose his spot, but Okereke's in a contract year. If he doesn't show the Colts that he can be the middle linebacker of the future going down the line, there's a chance he could walk in free agency next year. But like I said, he was a menace in training camp last year, seemingly making a turnover or making a big play every single practice. And then we go to the regular season, and while he didn't play terrible, I mean, he led the team in tackles, for God's sake. Yeah. But it just wasn't at that same level that he was in training camp. And I think that's the next step for Okereke, is taking the play that was in training camp, transitioning that and making sure that level of play is the same when it comes to the regular season, when the games actually matter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how I feel about Bobby. Definitely not Hall of Famer yet. Like Pat predicted. Unfortunately, I was just thinking about that announcement this morning too. I was thinking about Pat announcing that pick, making fun of the Titans.
Anyway, well, hey, for the Colts, he doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer, because I don't think the Colts are willing to pay two linebackers $20 million a year. They're already paying Darius over 19 a year.
Yeah.
So if Okereke could be a solid starter, I think that's all the Colts need.
I'd be happy with that. Wyatt, we'll get to that a little bit on the O-line kind of in this episode, but your specific question probably a little longer, but and Matt makes a good point too. The defense always has an upper hand early because it's see ball, get ball, while the offense works out their kinks. So the defense is going to look good early. They usually do. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to progressively see things balance out because I think this is a really well-balanced football team.
I think so too. And Stats Matt brings up a good point that kind of transitions into what we're going to talk about next. He says the defensive line coach's philosophy is what I'm excited to see. Nate Ollie, the new defensive line coach for the Indianapolis Colts, his philosophy is strictly an attacking front. It's kind of like we were saying, see ball, get ball. Basically, pin your ears back. Don't worry about reading the run. Pin your ears back. Go get the quarterback. Go attack that line of scrimmage. And so when you talk about guys like Yannick Ngakoue on one side, Kwity Paye on the other, DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart in the middle, Dio Odangbo all playing all along the defensive line. It's a complete shift in what these guys that were on the team last year were doing in Matt Eberflus's defense and Brian Baker's philosophy, where it was more read react rather than just going and getting the quarterback. So I think we're going to see more pressure now. Is that going to come at a huge loss in terms of running backs and other offenses getting the running game going? We'll have to see as the season goes along. But I think with this type of philosophy and with this type of personnel that the Colts have acquired to go under this kind of philosophy of just attacking the quarterback, I think you're going to see pressures go up. I think you're going to see sacks go up, which in turn could lead to more turnovers, which, of course, this defense thrives on.
But in camp, you know, where you're not allowed to hit the guy in the red shirt, never really like, oh man, I'm so impressed by the defensive line. I mean, we hear things about Big Grove and DeForest tearing up the offensive line occasionally or vice versa, but you never really know if somebody's going to get home unless they're allowed to hit. So I don't think training camp's going to be super revealing in regards to sack numbers, but I mean, you can tell who's getting the better of a battle. Mm-hmm. The offensive line, defensive line. Am I right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can tell that with the one-on-one drills, which I'm going to be up close and personal telling you all about those. So
I still can't believe this shit.
Seeing DeForest Buckner go up against Quentin Nelson, it's a sight to see one-on-one, to see those two behemoth human beings, basically gladiators of any timeline, just going up against each other. So yeah, you can absolutely tell if one guy is getting the upper hand or not, even in these 11-on-11 sessions. Even though you're not allowed to tackle the quarterback, that's not going to stop Yannick Ngakoue and Kwity Paye from trying to get around Matt Pryor and Braden Smith as quickly as possible, so that way they can get to Matt Ryan and then they'll call the play dead. That's still what their priority is.
You expect to know this during camp. Are you going to be able, you're going to be there. And you're going to be there. Are you going to, do you think you'll be able to tell, Quiddy's taking a step? He's moved it forward.
I think it will take till the regular season, but the things I'm going to be watching with Kwity are his get off. I'm going to be watching he's got a very good strong arm move. I'm going to see if he's developed a counter and developed more of a plan. And those are kind of the things that I'm going to be watching with Kwity Paye. And I think you're going to be able to tell that just by his body movement, especially since he's going to be going up primarily. He'll be on the left side of the defense and he'll be going up against Braden Smith day in and day out. So when you're going up against one of the best right tackles in football, you're bound to get better.
Yeah, good for him, by the way. Hey, Harpoon, you must be new here. Appreciate you watching. I'm waiting on the edge of my seat to hear that Kenny Moore III is signed. Should be any day, let's hope. No.
Yeah, Kenny Moore is not going to be getting a new deal. He's going to be staying on this deal for this year. There's no talks between the two sides. The Colts are pretty adamant that they are not willing to give Kenny Moore a new deal. Maybe next offseason they'd be more willing to negotiate, as that would be Kenny Moore's, the final year of Kenny Moore's deal. But with 2 years left, no way that's going to happen. The Colts are pretty, have been pretty firm on that stance.
Yeah, because they don't have to, and he's going to play anyway, and he'll be here next year, Mr. Bakery. Don't worry, or Miss Bakery. You know, thanks for watching. Appreciate you being here and commenting. Darius Leonard, will his health be a problem? Probably. I mean, I don't expect him to have a full camp. I don't expect him to be fully healthy in camp. I expect us to open camp next week and here don't see Darius Leonard on the field or Darius Leonard on the sidelines doing individual drills. I don't expect to see him going 100% full speed week one.
That's I would probably put money on Darius Leonard not being fully ready to go next week when camp starts. I mean, I'm sure he'll be out there. He'll be out there with his hat on. He'll be out there the same energetic Darius that we all know and love. Yep. But Frank Reich has said that this recovery will probably go into training camp, and honestly, that's fine. I'm not worried about that. What I want to see is eventually when he does return to camp, I want to see how he's moving around. And believe me, he will be one of the guys that when he is out there, I will be watching pretty much every little bit of movement that Darius does, so I can tell you guys about it. But I want to see how he's moving. I want to see the speed out there, because that ankle injury that is supposedly going to be fixed because he had this back surgery. I want to see how he's moving out there, the speed, the ability to cut and change directions, his overall level of play. I don't think he needs to be making interceptions or doing anything like that on a day-to-day basis, but you could tell with Darius Leonard pretty easily just because of the way he plays, whether he's 100% and feeling himself or something's holding him back. And like I said, I'm not going to be concerned if he misses a couple weeks of training camp. I don't even think he necessarily needs to play in the preseason, but I do want to see him start to be on the field towards the end of training camp at the very least.
I agree. And I think he will be by that point, but definitely not week one. I mean, probably won't play. I don't think he'll play a snap in the preseason.
I'd be shocked if he was on the field next week when the Colts kick off training camp.
EJ Speed will benefit if Darius can't go for a while. Predictions for position battles. Are we picking who we think wins the position battles?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
All right, fine. Tight end. Granson versus Woods. Kyle Granson, Jelani Woods. I don't know. I think we draft a guy like Woods for a reason at this point. You know, like the Colts did not like Granson last year for whatever reason. Can't block, whatever it is. I think Woods is going to be top dog in that battle.
See, right now I am going to go Granson just because I know the Colts would really want to use him as that F tight end, and they want Jelani Woods to start out with the Mo Alley Cox role from last year, as Mo is stepping into the Jack Doyle role. Jelani Woods, they want him to be the Mo Alley Cox role and Kylan Granson to be that F tight end. However, if Granson does not perform in camp quickly and Woods starts to impress, the Colts will not hesitate to put Woods in there, because Woods is 6'7", can run a 4.6. He's a weapon, and it's only a matter of time before Woods becomes a big part of this Colts offense.
All right, and left tackle Pryor and Raymond. I don't know. I would assume Pryor to start the season. I would assume Pryor to start the season, and if anybody's making a difference later, you know, maybe Raymond. But I would say Pryor wins that battle to start.
I'm gonna go Matt Pryor. The Colts like what he did last year. They said he's gonna get first crack at it. I do believe that Matt Pryor did show that he has earned that right to start at left tackle, at least to begin the year. Obviously, if he starts to struggle and Raymond wows in camp and in the beginning of the season, sure, put Raymond in there, because Raymond has a chance to be the left tackle of the future for the Colts. Raymond is still a little bit raw in the running game. He's a great athlete, very good in pass protection, which has great upside in this Colts offensive line. But I think Matt Pryor has done enough, and I think since he's been focusing primarily on left tackle all offseason, I'm excited to see what he does.
I don't know what you guys are getting, but Andrew was just bragging about his internet before the show, and that was nice and broken up for me. So hopefully you guys are getting a better view. Right guard, Pinner and Fries. I'm going with the Ball State guy. Chirp, chirp, motherfucker.
Yeah, Danny Pinter's the guy. Will Fries is a good solid backup, but the Colts are really high on Danny Pinter. I think the right guard spot is his to lose.
Hello, Krista Patrick. Thank you for the smiley face emojis. C-Stats, man, agrees with me. Cornerback, Rodgers and Faison. Dath Matt says Rodgers over Faison, and Granson gets the early preference. I'm going to go also with Rodgers.
I'm going to go Rodgers as well. He's been outstanding all throughout the spring. I think his speed, his ball skills, that dog within him, I think Isaiah Rodgers has the upper hand. This is going to be a battle that's probably the most interesting to watch all throughout training camp, but I think Rodgers has the edge. He's going to keep that edge and end up being the starter once the season rolls around.
And last but not least, McLeod versus Cross. Andrew, you can go first.
I'm going Cross here. I love the rookie out of Maryland. I think McLeod is a solid safety. He can be the guy that takes that third safety role within this defense. But man, Nick Cross, the way he flies around the field, his nose for the ball, he's built for that strong safety spot. I think he's going to win out towards the end of camp.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm with Cross as well. So another one of those guys that we drafted that I feel like and my ear's not to the ground quite as low as you, but I feel like we're very excited about that young man.
Absolutely.
Okay. News around the league. No Colts news.
No Colts news, but man, camp's right around the corner, and I can't wait to get down there. It's going to be something new. Jake and I are going to be covering it for the site. I'll be giving you guys all the information for the podcast. It's going to be a fun time. I'm excited.
All right. And Andrew's going to be bumping elbows with people. I mean, he's going to be getting real sources that text him. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully.
If you guys have any questions for Matt Ryan, let me know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that just came out. I forgot to tell you that before the show, since Brandon came on about 2 minutes before it went live. But
your favorite habit, by the way, I do it one time, and he's putting it on the show. This is bullshit.
The T.Y. Hilton banner has been removed from the side of Lucas Oil Stadium. What are your thoughts, Brandon?
T.Y. Hilton's not going to be a Colt this year. That's my thought.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton. If he's going to play football this year, I would assume it's going to be for somebody other than the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. Unfortunate, sad, but true. All right. News around the league, Andrew. Cardinals and quarterback. Kyler Murray agreed to a 5-year, $230.5 million extension, including $160 million guaranteed. Nowhere near the most for any quarterback, which, by the way, refreshing. The next guy up does not always deserve the most money. He's not what some of these other guys are, but he's very good. Maybe he'll be that in the future, but he's not yet. I'm good for him for accepting a deal that was fair to him and to the team.
I mean, still top five all time, top five in the league right now in quarterback money. I think it's average of like $46 million a year. Kyler Murray's doing pretty damn well for himself. So, yeah. I think finally the two sides were able to come together and get a deal done. We all knew it was going to get done anyway. As Stats Matt said, second highest AAV, so wouldn't be so quick, Brandon.
Make sure to tell Stats Matt to shut his mouth.
But yeah, I mean,
here you are, Stats Matt.
We knew it was going to get done. It was just a matter of time. And now Kyler Murray is going to be with Arizona till at least 2028.
Mr. Don White, thanks for joining. Status of Kenny Moore the third spoken about earlier in the show. Feel free to watch the whole thing again. It'd be a great time. Who makes the Ring of Honor first, Luck or Hilton? Luck.
That's a tough. Well, if T.Y. retires, I would say that's a tough one. The one that decides that is Mr. Jim Irsay. So he'll be the one that ultimately makes that call. Both deserving it.
By the way, maybe neither.
Both deserving. Both, I think, will end up in the Ring of Honor someday.
Jim Irsay apparently thinks there's infinite amount of space in that, you know, in that statement. He's just going to keep throwing them up. All right. So Kyler Murray got paid. Good for him. 49ers give quarterback Jimmy G and his agents permission to seek a trade after he received clearance to start throwing.
Thing is, where's he going to go? The only other team that I can think of that needs a quarterback, Seattle Seahawks, but they're in the same division as the 49ers. And I mean, publicly they backed Drew Lock. So I don't know where Jimmy Garoppolo would go from here. Unless, I mean, like we talk about, a quarterback gets injured in the preseason and in training camp, and then there's a big hole there. Then maybe the Bears.
The Bears
are going to roll with Justin Fields, I think, unless he has a catastrophic injury. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where Jimmy G could go. I really don't.
I'm trying to say.
Every other place has either an established quarterback or
somebody who thinks gonna be.
They just traded for a quarterback, or they have a young quarterback that they're trying to groom.
Giants.
Daniel Jones?
Giants. There it is. It's the Giants. Moving on. Buccaneers sign tight end Kyle Rudolph. This is hilarious, but he'll probably catch 4 touchdowns this year.
So I saw, might have been Shefty that tweeted this out, that Kyle Rudolph signed with the Buccaneers despite Tom Brady saying he would never be his first option because Kyle Rudolph went to Notre Dame. Thought that was kind of funny.
Hilarious. It's unfortunate how funny Tom Brady is. Brown signed quarterback Josh Rosen. Look out. Look out, Deshaun Watson. Look out, Jacoby Brissett. Deshaun Watson won't be starting week one, that's for sure.
With Deshaun Watson, with his suspension or his punishment expected.
No, he's still out there.
The punishment's expected very, very soon. Jacoby Brissett will be the starter, but Josh Rosen provides a little quarterback depth behind him. I don't think it's a great signing by the Browns, but hey, they need somebody to back up Jacoby Brissett.
Brother, the Texans reach a settlement with 30 women who are prepared to make claims against the team for its alleged role regarding sexual misconduct allegations against Deshaun Watson. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. They may have aided and abetted, essentially, and provoked, you know, this situation. It's wild.
Wouldn't say, I don't know, provoke's the right word, but they turned a blind eye if they knew about it, possibly. So
they paid for these therapists to come out. I bet. Additions to the PUP list, PUP, physically unable to perform list. Around the NFL, Falcons linebacker Deion Jones. Are you going to say anything about these, or can I keep it moving?
You can keep going. I'll stop you here and there.
Jets tight end CJ Uzomah. Who, by the way, became a very popular fantasy tight end last year, who people like myself may have picked up for no damn reason. he did not do a damn thing. Jets offensive tackle Mekhi Becton, another guy we covered in the first draft we ever covered. Jets defensive end Carl Lawson.
Man, Carl Lawson, I was so high on him a couple years ago in free agency. Got to the Jets, was doing well, and then tore his ACL. So I hope he can make a full recovery and continue his climb, because he's a real good kid, and I'm just a big fan of his.
Patriots running back James White. Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas, been hurt for 17 years. Comeback player of the year?
I mean, he's got to actually get back before we start thinking about comeback player of the year. This man hasn't played a ball game since the end of the 2020 season. For this mysterious ankle injury.
Couple years.
Sounds worse than Andrew Luck. We all know what happened there.
Saints defensive end Marcus Davenport.
So you do know why Marcus Davenport is on the PUP list?
I Because he got hurt while he was with the Colts.
Slaps the great joke there. No, he actually had part of his finger amputated this offseason, so he's still recovering from that.
They call that the JPP.
The JPP.
JPP injury.
Well, at least he wasn't playing with fireworks like JPP was.
Joke, Andrew. I hope JPP's not listening. I don't want to be on the wrong side of that guy's list. Cornerback. Well,
Tom Brady's not in the chat tonight, so we don't have to worry about him.
Tom? Yeah, you won't tell him. Cornerback Jason McCourty retires after 13 seasons.
Jason McCourty was a hell of a cornerback. I mean, time with the Patriots, time with, I think, the Titans, if I remember correctly. Solid pro.
Yep. Offensive tackle Mitchell Schwartz retires after 9 seasons. Where was he recently?
So he was with the Kansas City Chiefs. 9 seasons, 4-time All-Pro. He was pretty good in his time in the league. And then I think it was after the 2020 season, he got injured in their playoff run and was part of the whole, like, decimated offensive line when the Chiefs played the Buccaneers, and the Chiefs didn't re-sign him, and now he's hanging it up.
And the Falcons defensive tackle Eddie Goldman retires after signing with the team 13 days prior. Wow. Played 7 seasons with the Bears.
He showed up to the Falcons facility, thought about it, said, yeah, no thanks, bud. I'm gonna hang him up.
This is a shit. I'm out of here.
Just a wild thing. Not even 2 weeks. He's like, yeah, I'm done. Not feeling it anymore.
Matt Ryan said the same thing. All right. Wrap it up, Andrew. Hey, please listen. Go follow us at A Colts Podcast. On Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and start to make yourself a little more eligible for our little contest to give away a little ticket or two to the Colts game at home, August 20th, 1 p.m., Lucas Oil Stadium, against the Lions preseason game. The rules to be entered into the giveaway. Like A Colts Podcast on Facebook. Follow A Colts Podcast, Andrew and myself on Twitter. Subscribe to A Colts Podcast on YouTube. If you don't know my Twitter or Andrew's Twitter, you're obviously not watching on YouTube. So go over, subscribe on YouTube, watch a show on YouTube, and then also go to the website at coltspodcast.com where you can also find our information. But again, the rules to get 2 tickets to the Colts versus the Lions preseason game August 20th at 1 p.m. at Lucas Oil Stadium. Like A Colts Podcast on Facebook, follow A Colts Podcast, Andrew and myself on Twitter, and subscribe to A Colts Podcast on YouTube. If you're here right now, hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell, get a notification when we're going live because we kind of mix it up. We're not like a set night. It's partially because of me, partially because of Andrew. We got schedules. It's like playoffs. I don't get it. Anything else for you?
Yeah, we'll announce the winner of the giveaway that week leading up to the Colts Lions preseason game. But next time you hear from us, I'll be down at camp, so I'll give you everything I hear. It's gonna be a fun time.
Hot damn, can't wait. Go Colts.
Go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.